Tonight I want to talk about the right direction. The right direction. Which direction are you going? I don't know if you listen to country music, but I listen to country music, and one of my favorite songs, this is one of the main lines in the song. And back in March, the first of March, I did a lesson on this at Piney Grove, and I thought I'd share it tonight at Tri-Cities. So I want to start out by asking, is it possible to be a perfect person in this life? Is it possible to be perfect? I've met people before that have not obeyed the gospel, and after talking to them for a while, it basically what I come to the conclusion is they're trying to tell me that they can't be a Christian because of something in their past. There's no way they can be perfect. There's hypocrites in the church, and they just don't think there's a shot that they can get to heaven or be a child of God. And tonight I want to tell you that I don't believe that's true. I don't believe that's right. I do believe in what Michael said. We can't sin willfully. We've got to be better Christians in the future than we've been in the past once becoming a child of God. But it's not possible to be a perfect person. And I don't think the word perfect used in the Scripture a lot of times is meant that way. And I think sometimes we think that. A lot of times when you see the word perfect in the Scripture, it means complete. A complete Christian. When I was growing up, this example may not relate to many people in here, but maybe some of you will. There was an arcade basketball game that came out on Super Nintendo. And you played 2-on-2. And the more questions you got right, the more teams you defeated, you got attribute points that you could add to your character to make them stronger or better. For example, it would say 3-point shooting ability, field goal percentage, dunking ability, passing, dribbling, rebounding, all these attributes that were skills that your player would have. And the more attribute points you would collect, you could add them until your player was perfect at everything. So they were a more complete player. But before that, they had weaknesses. You might have one guy who on threes was perfect, but he couldn't dunk at all. Or on dunking and rebounding, he was a big tall guy, but he couldn't shoot at all. Like Shaquille O'Neal, right? So what you're thinking about as a Christian is, a lot of times we have weaknesses. Certain Christians don't have any problem with some sin, but yet there's some sin that really entangles them, or it's a plague in their life. So what we want to do is be a more complete Christian, a better Christian in the future than we've been in the past, and we want to make sure we're going in the right direction. We know the goal is perfection or completion. Look at Matthew 5 at verse 48. Matthew chapter 5 at verse 48, as Jesus is speaking here, notice what he says. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And then go down a couple chapters to Matthew 19. Matthew 19 at verse 21. Here we see an example of the rich young ruler. We know that he's tried to be a faithful Christian. He's tried to please the Lord. And he's kept all that he knows he needs to keep from his youth up. But notice the question posed in verse 21. Jesus said unto him, if you will be perfect. If you go back up, he's not murdered. He hasn't committed adultery, he hasn't stole, he hasn't bear false witness, he's honored his father and mother, he's loved his neighbor as himself. He's done all these things from his youth up, but he says, what do I need to do? And he says, go and he's got one weakness, and it's his possessions, it's his goods. Jesus said, go and sell these things if you want to be perfect, and have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But we know he goes away sorrowful. What about us? Is it possible to be a perfect person in this life? What about a few people we know who were not perfect in the Scripture? What about Abraham? He lied about Sarah being his wife, but I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of days I wish I could be half as good as Abraham. When he took Isaac, his son, up to offer him as a sacrifice to God, when he made so many decisions in Scripture that showed he was the father of the faithful, he's such an example, but he wasn't perfect. Marilyn, that's sort of comforting in a way. Because I have days where it feels like, you know what, I'm growing as a Christian. And then there's days where it's like, man, not even close. Moses, he disobeyed God when it came to speaking to the rock. This is the person who led the Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. And he gets that close to getting to the land of Canaan. And he disobeys God in one area and he's kept out of the land of Canaan. He wasn't perfect, but aren't there a lot of days we'd want to be Moses, mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 in the Hall of Faith? David, a man after God's own heart. But yet, in one instance, he commits adultery with Bathsheba. He has her husband Uriah put at the front of the battle line, basically murder, if you will, because he's killed because of it. He tries to hide it. He's got several sins all balled up in one. And this is one instance he's seen. But he was still a great man and a man after God's own heart. What about Peter, who preached the first gospel sermon in Acts 2, one of the 12 apostles? He was told right before he did it, sounds like my middle child here, you say something, you say, don't do this. And like 10 minutes later, they forgot and they're doing it. Peter's told by Jesus, you're going to be tempted to deny me. And before the cock will crow, you're going to deny me three times. Oh, I'm not going to do it. Oh, there's no way. But yet, he lies and denies Christ. He swears that he doesn't know him, and he curses. Three sins in one. What about Paul? Wrote 13 of our 27 New Testament letters, books of the Bible. And in no way was his first half of life as Saul of Tarsus even close perfect. He persecuted the church. He gave his word against Christians to be killed and to be put into prison. But yet he comes on strong at the end. And he does so much good for the work of the church and for the Lord. So, here's my question. Were any of these men lost because they were not perfect? Because if they were, then none of us have a shot. These were good, faithful men. And these are just a few examples. We can name a lot of people. But were any of them lost? Now, I'm not promising you they're in heaven or I'm promising you they're lost because we're not God, but I would assume all of these men are in heaven. I would just have to. So what about us? What about us? You can tell a lot about the condition of one's heart and one's faith by the direction they're going spiritually. For example, over the years at Piney Grove, we've had people that were very faithful Christians at one time. You've seen it at Southern Boulevard. You've seen it at Tri-Cities. You've seen other congregations, Reversion, Helton Drive, Midway. We've seen this in different locations where every Sunday and every Wednesday they're there, they're faithful, they bring their kids, they bring themselves, but then slowly something happens in their behavior. Maybe they start missing some Wednesday nights. Then slowly they start missing a few Sunday nights. Then slowly they're only there every once in a while. And you can see it coming. It doesn't take somebody that's very smart to figure it out. It takes an average IQ to just realize they're slipping. They're not as faithful. They're not as serious about their faith as they used to be. They're going in the wrong direction. And tonight, I want us to think about that. Which direction are we going in? Are we growing spiritually and getting closer to God? Or are we slowly slipping, falling away, backsliding? In Ephesians 4, verse 15, I have these passages on the screen if you're in your car. We're at Ephesians 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. All right, so we want to grow up into Christ. We want to grow closer. Sometimes you've got to tell the truth to get there. We've got to be honest about it. In Colossians 1 at verse 10, Colossians 1 at verse 10, as Paul wrote here to the church of Colossae, he said, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, in all pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and notice the last part of the verse, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's a person going in the right direction. In Luke 17 at verse 5, the apostles say to the Lord, increase our faith. Maybe you've had a period in your life where you weren't faithful. And maybe you've had a period in your life where you were so zealous and so faithful, you were just on fire for the Lord. Hopefully that's right now. Or maybe you're in between. We can understand the idea of saying, Lord, increase our faith. I need to be stronger. I need to nip this in the bud. I need to get close to the Lord. I need to be there. I need to be more faithful. I need to make better decisions in my life. The apostles here say, increase our faith, Lord. As disciples of Christ, do we have that same attitude? In Proverbs 4, verse 18, Solomon, he says, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more into the perfect day. If you're a faithful Christian, if you're a just person, it should be easier as you grow closer to death. As you get older and more experienced and more faithful to God, that path should be easier and easier to follow. That light should be brighter and brighter. In 1 Peter 2, verse 2, the description of the baby comes around as newborn babes. What's a baby do right when it's born? It goes for that milk. A baby calf, a baby goat, a baby sheep. Any baby that's born has that desire for something. And as Christians, when we obey the gospel and we become children of God, we've got to desire it. If we can't get it, we're going to die. If that calf doesn't get that colostrum, it's not going to live. If we don't get the Word of God, we're not going to grow and we're not going to live, spiritually speaking. He says, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. You've got to desire it. Jesus puts it in the Beatitudes. You've got to hunger and thirst after righteousness. In 2 Peter 3, verse 18, as Peter concludes his second letter, he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All six of these last passages that we looked at are talking about growing, increasing faith. You can can tell a lot about the condition of somebody's heart and their faith by the direction they're going spiritually. We had a couple that came and started going with us at Piney Grove about 3 years ago now. And when they first started coming, they came on Sunday mornings only. That was it. They lived in our community for years. Her father was a faithful member out there for years. But in my 30-something years, I'd never seen her out there much. But they came, started visiting. Well, they actually came. The bridge was there. They were in the bridge, and they had to visit. And they came and said, "This ain't at all what we thought it was going to be. We've really enjoyed it." So when the bridge got fixed, they went back to where they were attending. And then later, they came back. And I was early that day. Just so happened I needed to get there early to do something. Walked in, and they were sitting on a pew. First ones there. Other than John Blue. He was there. Ain't that right, Josh? So we got there going in. And I speak to them. They say, "We're going to start going to Piney Grove." Just like, it was the easiest part. Wow. So for a year, they're there every Sunday morning. Never once on Sunday night, never once on Wednesday. Do you know now, in the last 2 years, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday, they're there. They used to not come to potlucks. Now, they've come to the last several, although this year we haven't been able to have that yet. They used to not speak very. Now they've had Monica and my family into their house at least 5 times to have lunch. And their questions outside of church about spiritual things are numerous. Their contact with me about their family and trying to help their family become Christians. It's just been so encouraging. But yet we've had some that have grown up in the church, and they take for granted that their grandparents and parents were Christians. They had it easy. They were just raised in the church. So their desire for spiritual things is very slim compared to worldly things. Entertainment, activities, and life in general, they're not near as interested in spiritual things as they are those. You can tell a lot about the condition of one's heart and faith by the direction they're going spiritually. What about yours tonight? I don't worship with you here at Tri-Cities. I love every one of you, and I wish we could all worship together. Maybe one day we will in heaven, where all the congregations will be combined. But we need to make sure that you look around at yourself. Look around at your brethren. Make sure that you're going in the right direction. Which direction are you going? Is it the right one? Or is it the wrong one? The key to this all is you've got to be honest. God sees and knows all. You know, I may can hide something from you. You may can hide something from me. But God sees it all. Generally, everyone around you knows as well. You think people don't realize that we're slipping when we're slipping, or we're getting stronger? Everybody's seeing it. It's either encouraging or discouraging. If we're getting closer to God or farther away, it's no secret. We may have in our mind this wall built that, oh, well, we've got some things going on in our life, or, well, this is not right now. We know what's going on, and so do you. Paul said in Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14, we're talking about Saul of Tarsus, who we mentioned earlier, now Paul, as he's going the right direction now. How did he get over that idea of, I'm not a perfect person? How did he get past that past life where he persecuted Christians? He could come in the building every week, such as we do today, and be one of these people who said, I can't lead singing. I can't lead a prayer. I can't teach Bible class. Do you know that 15 years ago that I used to use filthy language? Do you know that 15 years ago I didn't even believe in God? How can I now take on these roles and grow? We've got to put that behind us. That's what Paul says. He says, brethren, in Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark. Why? For the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's going to let go of the past so he can deal with the future. What about us? Are we willing to be honest, let go of the past, and move forward? There's only one way that pleases God. Now what we're going to do for the next 5 to 10 minutes is we're going to look at 10 points. You might say, 10 points? If Stacy says 10 points, we're here for an hour. Stacy, when you're listening to this, I don't mean that. I meant that as a joke. What we're going to do is look at 10 points a minute a point, just to make quick evaluations. Okay, we're quick evaluations. These are those attribute points I talked about the first thing in the lesson. These are little ways in our life. Not all, but little ways in our life where we can judge ourselves and say, look, in this example, I'm going the wrong direction. Okay, right here, I'm going the right direction. I need to work at this one. I need to keep doing well at this one. So our 10 ways. There's only one way that pleases God. Which direction are you going? The first one. What about in attendance or worship study? Excuse me, attendance for worship and study. Now, the last 4 months is not a good indicator of this. It's been terrible to... Satan's trying any way he can to hurt the church, but it should just make it stronger. We should want to worship and appreciate worship even more than we ever have. But in Hebrews 10:25, he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We can't do that. And he goes on to say in the next verse that if we do this, we're sinning willfully. What about you? Which direction are you going? This, to me, as an outsider looking in at brethren that I worship with or I've worshiped with in the past, is the first indicator a lot of times. It's not the most important. People say, well, if you're in church, just because you're at worship services or state doesn't mean you're a faithful Christian. Just because you're not there one day doesn't mean you're unfaithful. But it's an indicator that tells a lot about a person. What about us? Which way are we going? Second, what about in the knowledge of the Scripture? In 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul talks to young Timothy and he says, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You're not born with the Bible memorized in your head. If you are, then you've got a special talent. That's a gift. You have to study. And when you study it, you start to find holes in a lot of faiths that are out there. People that attend places and do types of faith that when you start looking at the Scripture, you realize that's not right. That's not what we see as an example or a command or an inference. Where'd they get that from? Well, it's popular. It gets people there, so they're doing it. Or it's fun. You know, they enjoy it. We need to study the Scripture to show ourselves approved so that we know God's Word, we can live it, and we make sure we're doing the best we can to do what's right in our lives. There's only one way that pleases God, and that's as you become a Christian, as you're aging, that you're going in the right direction and you know more about the Word of God now than you ever have. Mike, I think you coached some youth league basketball. I used to coach middle school basketball at Moulton Middle. We've got some young people in here, several that aren't with us tonight, or maybe they're in their cars. I played sports growing up, really enjoyed sports. The first year I played Little League Baseball, I was 9 years old, and I was terrible. Josh, I'm telling you, I was terrible. The next year, I made the All-Star team. It was such a turnaround because once I got out there, I fell in love with it. I really enjoyed it, and I practiced and wanted it so much. And through life, it was just a constant love and practice, something I wanted to do. Some children take the opposite approach. They play sports here, too. This is not for me. You give them a piano, and they're just skilled, and they love it. You give them a guitar, and they're skilled, and they love it. They found a different niche in life, a different thing they enjoy, and that's fine. But what about Christians in the future of the church, our children, our grandchildren? We talked about that at Piney Grove this morning. We need to make sure that we're emphasizing growth and knowledge of Scripture, not just in athletics, not just in musical instruments, not just in popularity in this world and fun and enjoyment and entertainment. We've got to emphasize this right direction. Because there's a lot of people in a lot of churches today that don't know anything about the Bible. There's a lot of faiths that meet today and they never use the Bible. They're just glorified country clubs calling themselves churches. We need to make sure that we don't fall into that, that we study and know the Word of God. What about decision making? Man, I used to make terrible decisions, someone might say. I never got it right. I always got myself into trouble. Since you've become a Christian, the last year, the last few years, do you see that you're making better decisions? Do you see that you're putting God first in your decision making? How many people look for a spouse and they never consider if this person's going to help them get to heaven? And eventually they fall out of the church because of that spouse and their lack of love for the Lord. How many people choose a job because of the dollar amount that job pays? Well, I want this job. Why? Because this job pays triple figures. Can you be a faithful Christian to that job? Because if you can be a faithful Christian and find a job that pays half, it's going to be much more rewarding in eternal life. That's going to be much better for you in the long run. What about our decision making? There's so many decisions we make daily. Choices. Are we counting the cost of these decisions? Are we just weighing how much we enjoy it, what we want then, rather than thinking about how they're going to affect us for eternity? What about in love of others? Jesus said the greatest commandment of all is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, all your strength. And right behind it is to love your neighbor as yourself. Boy, right now, when you turn on your television, it's hard to love others. When I watch TV and I watch the news and I watch the way that they're treating our president, when I watch the way that our world is going in so many ways, and I'm sure people that lived 100 years ago said the same thing. Maybe not. It's hard to love everybody. It's hard not to get emotional and say, boy, I wish I could give them a piece of my mind. I wish they'd let me have a minute. This is terrible. We're supposed to love our enemies. As hard as that may sound, we're supposed to love our enemies. Jesus did. What about in sacrificing your time and self for others? Boy, that's a tough one. That's tough. But you know, the most rewarding days of my life have come from visits at a hospital, going to someone's home, seeing someone obey the gospel, seeing someone understand the scripture for the very first time. And there's no way those events would ever happen if we would have taken the time to go see them, the time to study with them, the time to talk and get to know them. But a lot of times we're so busy for ourselves, me included. You know, Paul said he was the chief of sinners. I'm the chief of this. A lot of times I forget about other people. There's only one way that pleases God. We need to go in the right direction and sacrifice more of our time and ourselves for others. Sixth, if you're keeping up with numbers here, this is number six. In the language you use. Hopefully this has never been a problem for many of us. But, boy, you turn on your radio, you watch the television, and cursing happens all the time. I mean, you hear it all the time. Hopefully you don't use it at all, but you hear it all the time. But let me tell you what, what I think. You know, sins are all the same. James 2:10, sin is sin. You miss the mark, miss the mark. But you hear God's name in vain more than you hear cursing. And if I were able to scale it, it would be worse than cursing. Although, sin's a sin. You miss the mark, you miss the mark. People do that constantly. And what about euphemisms? Maybe you're not saying the curse word, but you're saying everything but it. You're a letter off. Okay? Or you're not saying God's name in vain, but you're a letter or two off. That's something. Hey, look, I want to go in the right direction. I used to not have any trouble with this, but I got this new job, and all my coworkers use filthy language, and it's starting to rub off on me. We need to find a way to fix that. What about seventhly, in the company you keep? 1 Corinthians 15:33, Paul says, evil companions corrupt good morals. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. And that's a husband or a wife. That's a boyfriend or a girlfriend. That's a coworker that you talk to all day, or that's a friend that you go out and hang out with. If you're in high school, that's the age I think we all think about when we read this verse, is what group of friends are you hanging out with? It's not just high school, it's our whole life. Well, they've been my friend for so long, and they're really good people, but they do have some faults. They've got some flaws. But they're rubbing off on us in a bad way. If so, it's not the company we need to be in with all the time. We need to work with. What about your involvement in the work of the church? Tri-Cities is a great congregation. Great location right here on Wilson Dam Road. You know, at Piney Grove, we don't have a restaurant even close. And you got Jack's right here. Stacy said you can just walk and get a milkshake. You don't have to build a fellowship hall. You got one, right? I mean, here's the thing. A lot of people go to church, and they're faithful Christians, and they never think about this point. But the work of the church is not one person, two people, three. This is all of us. I know that some of your teenagers are here tonight. I know Chad's children are away. You've got the in-laws over here. Dessler High School represented over here. Calvert Heights, Muscle Shoals. Stacy's kids. What if these kids are bringing their friends to worship services? What if these children are going and say, hey, we're having our meeting this week. I want to have a spin-out party this week, and I want you all to come to church with me. Let's hang out. I want you to visit. And then the adults, they're doing their coworkers, all right? So that's one level of it. But not just getting people here, but when we're here. Maybe you've never led singing. Maybe you can't go to church. Maybe you ever taught Bible class. I'm not saying you can do it all. Everybody has different skill sets. I'm not saying do it all or you're failing. No. Try some different skill sets. Try some different things. Maybe it's in the giving. Maybe you're very prosperous and you can give back to the church and help spread the gospel of the preachers that the congregation here is supporting. Some of the people that are in need that the congregation is supporting. Whatever the case is, find a way you can be more involved in the church today than you were yesterday. I was talking to a family a while ago. Don't know them very well. We can agree on that, right? How many people for years... Just imagine this scenario. Michael's parents worship at O'Neill. Got to know the congregation very well. Did a couple meetings there last year. Such a great group of people. And I live about an hour and 15 minutes from that building, maybe an hour and 10. Can you imagine I was the preacher at that congregation living where I live in New Bethel, but that's where I was working? What would be the challenge to that? Well, I would have to drive an hour and 15 minutes to make a visit, an hour and 15 minutes to have a study, give or take, because some of the members live on that side of where I live, so it's going to be even further. It just wouldn't be the best thing, right? How many people for years have not thought about that with worship? Well, I live in Tuscumbia, but I go to church in Athens. How effective are you in that? How good is that doing you with the people in that community where you're supposed to be a command spreading the gospel? That's something we need to think about. What about raising your children to put God first? I did a whole lesson on this at Piney Grove this morning. Are we raising our children to put God first? I was telling some of the folks here, maybe some of the visitors, that once we've got three ladies that are expecting, and once we get this virus and we get everybody back in that building all together, we're going to have around 20, 21 children that are 10 and under. 20 to 21 at Piney Grove. We've only got about 60 people. That's a third. That's enough for some real good classes. That's enough for a good vacation Bible school. And that's very encouraging to all of us, and I hope it's encouraging to you because you're a brethren as well. But we've got to really focus out at Piney Grove these next few years in making sure these kids and these children, these grandchildren, have God put first, because we've got such an opportunity that many congregations don't have. We've just had a baby boom and a lot of young families that attend out there, and it's worked out, and God's blessed us. But now we've got to give them back to God. We need to make sure that we're doing that. Maybe you've got children or grandchildren here. I know a lot of you do. Make sure that the most important thing in their life is the congregation here at Tri-Cities, the Lord, and the work of the church. If you do that, everything else will fall into place. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Everything else in your life will take care of itself. You've got to put God first. And then finally, there's only one way that pleases God. What about your fear of the Lord? In Proverbs 1:7, Solomon says, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And that's the first time he says it. He says it over and over throughout the book. But that's the first time he says it. So what's the first step in being a faithful Christian? All right, what's the first step in getting going in the right direction? The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. You have to reverence and fear God. You have to believe in God with all your heart in a way that moves you to say, all right, we've got to make some changes in our life. We've got to cut out some of this language. We've got to start making sure when the doors are open, whether we've got an event planned, something happens at school, something happens in our league, whatever happens, we're going to be there that week. We're going to be there. And then I'm going to tell Coach, we'll be there for every other game and practice this year, but this Monday and Tuesday, we're having our meeting. I've got to be there. Sunday and Wednesday, they already know where I'm going to be. What about us? Do we fear the Lord in a way that makes us change? That makes us reevaluate things and say, I need to do better. I'm sort of going in the motions. I've been backsliding. I'm getting a little stronger. There's only one way that pleases God, and that's going in the right direction. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all these other things. If you look at each one we've talked about, it's in all of them. We've got to reverence and fear God and what He wants best for us in our life in order to make the others work out. In 2 Timothy 4:10, you see someone who doesn't go in the right direction. Which means at one time he was going in the right direction. In 2 Timothy 4:10, it says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. If you're in your car, I've got having loved this world, present world, in a different color font. I want you to think about that for a minute. How many people love God, but they love this world a little bit more? They want to be a Christian, but they want to be popular. They want to be powerful. They want to be successful. They want to be happy, in quotations I put happy, more than they want to sacrifice their life here and live it for the Lord. Because that takes tough decisions at times. That takes us making decisions that otherwise we wouldn't make. And Demas wasn't willing to do that. He had to be a Christian to forsake God, or he would have never been in this picture. But he's forsaken me. Why? Having loved this present world. How many tonight would say, the reason I'm not going in the right direction is because I love this world more. I love the things that Satan's offered me here more. I'm willing to trade my soul for this or that. He's got me on the line like a fish on a hook. And the more I tug away, the more he's getting me on that hook. I'm sucked in. The bait gets me every time. In conclusion, Which direction are you headed? In James 4, he says, draw close to God and He will draw close to you. If we'll just draw closer to God, He'll get closer to us and life will be easier as far as growing spiritually. Some days I'm headed in the right direction. And some days I ain't even close. What about you? We want to take that lyric and change it to say, some days I'm heading in the right direction, some days I'm... We want to change it to, when I leave here tonight, I'm going to do everything I can to be closer. I want to have way more days where I'm going in the right direction and way less days where I'm headed in the wrong direction. We're human, just like Abraham, just like Moses, just like David, Peter, and Paul. We're not perfect. And if the reason you haven't obeyed the gospel tonight is because you think you've got to be perfect, or there's hypocrites in the church, or you can't let go of your past, you've got to drop that. You've got to let that go. But we may not be perfect, but it's no excuse to not draw closer to God. It's no excuse to keep sinning. Romans 6:1, may we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We can't sin willfully. Hebrews 10:26. Just because we're not perfect, we've got to get more complete. When a person obeys the gospel, they're a young babe. And over time and over years, you've got to develop and grow and grow. And that mind is constantly from studying God's Word, from interacting with Christians, from looking at the world, you've got to constantly be developing. And that's making you become more complete. Not perfect without sin. Only Christ is going to do that. It's helping you to be a stronger, better Christian. And that's what we're expected to do. We need to grow spiritually. In Matthew 11, the last verse I'm going to read, Matthew 11, verses 28 and 29. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. We need to draw close to God tonight. Maybe tonight you're not a Christian, and you're in the parking lot. It's not going to hurt you to walk in if you need to be baptized into Christ. I'm sure the Lord will bless you in a special way. Maybe you are in the building and you've never obeyed the gospel. Boy, what an encouraging night it would be to see someone make that decision. Or maybe most of us that are of age of accountability have done that. I imagine that's it. Most of us have probably obeyed the gospel that are of the age of accountability. But after thinking about this tonight, you've had an honest heart. Because that's the only way the lesson's going to do any good. And maybe with an honest heart you can say, you know, it's not public, but there's some of these ways and some that he didn't list that I need to get going back in the right direction. Maybe it was on the list. But it's not public. It's private. Go home. God knows. It's public with God. It may not be public with your brethren, so it doesn't require public repentance. Go home. Talk to God in prayer. Pray about it and make up your mind. This week you're going to work on it. This month you're going to work on it. This year you're going to work on it. Maybe it is public. We're family here at Tri-Cities. We love each other. We care for each other. And we're here to help each other. Maybe you need the prayers of the saints and you want somebody to help pray with you. If we can do anything to help you tonight, let's all make sure we're heading in the right direction when we leave here tonight. And if we can help you, why don't you come and sing a song that's been selected.